First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's start you out with the headlines you need to know as we start the hour. We have more continued conversation about Oklahoma State's situation between head coach Mike Gundy and star running back Chuba Hubbard. Remember, Gundy wore a t-shirt on social media that Chuba Hubbard reacted to yesterday on social media that then caused the two of them to post a video together on social media saying that they are going to work together. But we have another report on this today, let's say the next step in this today, as Chuba Hubbard went to social media this morning to say that he was never wrong for saying what I said. I'm a man and I realized I should have went to him as a man face to face rather than on Twitter. That's my opinion. But I had to hold him accountable either way. I'm glad things happened the way they did because things are being changed as we speak. We don't know what that change is. We don't know how it will move forward, but we do know this. At this point, superstar running back Chuba Hubbard not backing down from calling out his head coach. Next up on the headlines you need to know, New York Governor Cuomo has given the okay for the U.S. Open to be held in August. Said Tuesday the U.S. Open tennis tournament will be held on its scheduled date. His quote, "We're excited about the U.S. Open. It's going to be held in Queens, August 31st through September 13th. It will be held without fans, but you can watch it on TV. And I'll take that. The tennis authorities are going to take extraordinary precautions, but that's going to take place." So we now know at this point the U.S. Tennis Association is moving forward with it. It looks like they're doing it with the blessing of the governor, so we can feel a little bit more confident that we're actually going to get that next event. And lastly, we got a little bit of college football news regarding the College Football Hall of Fame. Former coaches Bob Stoops and Gary Pinkel highlight the newest nominees for the College Football Hall of Fame. It was announced on Tuesday. Among the group were 78 players and 7 coaches from the FBS level and 99 players and 33 coaches from the divisional ranks. The ballot was sent Tuesday to more than 12,000 National Football Foundation members and current Hall of Famers. Their votes will be counted and sent to the NFF Honors Court, which will select the 2021 class. Those are your headlines you need to know. Plus, I'll give you a little selfish headline. I don't know how much you care, but we're going to tell you anyway. The hot dog eating contest you watch every 4th of July is going to be a go. You're going to get to see the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and I'm selfishly telling you about it because I can now also selfishly tell you that Mike Golic Jr. and myself will be part of the broadcast. Not pregame show, not digital show. Nope, you're getting Mike Golic Jr. and I throughout the course of the hot dog eating contest. So on the 4th of July, fear not. Everything will be done in a very safe way. All the announcements will be coming soon, but I can tell you there will be hot dog eating. Mike Golic Jr. and myself will be a part of the broadcast. So I'm pretty excited about that. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. Before we get any more of your take, I want you to hear a little bit of Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and it comes in the form of the NBA. Now, saying that NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is on the forefront of the right of this entire situation is an easy take to have. And saying that he's progressive in his thinking, also easy take to have. But these things are easy because they continually prove themselves over and over again. While other commissioners, Rob Manfred, are sitting there throwing players under the bus and having very public debates, Adam Silver is saying incredibly real things that show a level of understanding. This is what Adam Silver said last night when talking to Mike Greenberg on ESPN as each commissioner sat down to talk to Greeny about the challenges that come forward and what they're trying to do in getting sports to return. And Greeny asked him a very specific question about players that, whether because of social injustice or health, aren't comfortable returning. This is what Commissioner Silver had to say.
But I can only say it may not be for everyone. I mean, it will entail enormous sacrifice on behalf of those players and for everyone involved, the coaches, the referees. Listen, it's not an ideal situation. We're trying to find a way to our own normal in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of essentially a recession or worse with 40 million unemployed, and now with enormous social unrest in the country. And so as we work through these issues, I can understand how some players may feel that it's not for them. And as you said, it could be for a host of reasons. It may be for family reasons. It may be for health reasons they have, or it may be because they feel, as some players have said very recently, that their time is best spent elsewhere.
That's Adam Silver last night with Greeny. What was also amazing to me is that unlike most other situations where we heard from a commissioner and then a player or then a reporter, we also got the opportunity to hear from Commissioner Silver along with Damian Lillard at the same time. They spoke together, and then After the commissioner checked out, Damian Lillard stuck around and spoke a little bit more to Greeny. And he was asked very point blank about concerns and the willingness to take health risks by stepping back on the court. This is what he said to Greeny.
I'm not really sure. I don't feel 100% comfortable, but, you know, it's a risk that I'm willing to take. Like I mentioned earlier, this is what we do. This is our job. And this is how we take care of our families. And also, like I mentioned earlier, it's my way of providing for communities and impacting my community. So to play the game I love, to resume the season, you know, I guess it's a risk that I'm willing to take.
That's Damian Lillard. So the Coalition of Players delivered a statement to ESPN on Monday describing its thought process and motivations. This is the quote. As an oppressed community, we are going on 500 plus years of being systematically targeted, used for our IP/talent, and also still being killed by the very people that are supposed to, quote, protect and serve us. We've had enough. We are combating the issues that matter most. We will not accept the racial injustices that continue to be ignored in our communities. We will not be kept in the dark when it comes to our health and well-being. And we will not ignore the financial motivations, expectations that have prevented us historically from making sound decisions. That is the statement that came from the Players Coalition on Monday. Now, Stephen A. Smith and Max discussed that and discussed whether or not it changes their opinion on players and their unwillingness to play.
Not at all. Not one bit. And I would say to you, Molly and Max, it's because as far as I'm concerned, I didn't get more details from Kyrie Irving. So as far as I'm concerned, what was he specific about in terms of what, in terms of mobilization, in terms of galvanizing folks to a direct and specific goal? What exactly is that? Cause I didn't hear it. That's number one. Number two, I would like to remind everybody that Kyrie Irving is on the executive committee of the NBA Players Association. Okay, excuse me, Chris Paul is the president. Do you disagree with Chris Paul? Did you tell Chris Paul that when you had these calls with 80-plus people? Did you inform Chris Paul of what your feelings were and what you were going to say before you said it? Did you even know he was going to be on the damn call? These are issues now that need to be broached because the commissioner, Adam Silver, told Greeny last night he's been communicating with the leadership for the Players Association. That includes the executive committee. So where the hell has Kyrie Irving been? Number three, I'm watching Dwight Howard. Good brother. Watched him on Don Lemon's show on CNN last night. Okay, we all know that Don Lemon's been doing a good job in terms of what he's been bringing to the forefront, and we applaud him for that. But in the end, when you look at what Dwight Howard had to say, I didn't hear anything of substance that he said. And that gets to a bigger issue here, Max. Let me tell you something. When I look at this and I think about everybody sitting there, you know, attacking on social media, going off about money, money, money. That's what it's always about. You're damn right it is. You're damn right it is. Let's stop the games. Russell Westbrook is putting forth a docuseries based on the 1921 riots in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Why is that such a significant thing? An entire community, an affluent black community, was ravaged. Nearly 300 people died. In excess of $32 million in damage was done. That's what they, you know, man, you know, that's basically what they equated it to being. You know, black businesses were flourishing. This is before integration now, okay? Not once it was diluted, not once black issues and black prominence was diluted to a significant degree because of integration, some would argue. This is at a time when that wasn't the case and black folks were thriving and their communities were destroyed. Why is Russell Westbrook bringing attention to that? Why is LeBron James folks planning on showing up on Juneteenth and addressing issues there for voting rights and what have you? You know why? Because people were flourishing economically. Every single black leader in the history of this nation has preached about the importance of economic empowerment. And here we have a bunch of brothers that are economically empowered and are talking about giving it up. For what exactly? When that economic empowerment is what can address the very issues that we're talking about. Dr. Fauci is on the record saying that the safest environment, and the NBA has the safest plan right now because guys would be in a bubble. They wouldn't be traveling, et cetera, et cetera. So you know that safety is something that's being addressed. You've got the commissioner who's been very progressive in his thinking that's willing to help in any way he can. You've got leaders like CP3 and LeBron James that have been putting their money and their efforts where their mouth is, along with a bevy, a majority of those players. And if you decide not to play and the players were to listen listen to Kyrie Irving, would have listened to Dwight Howard, who, by the way, are supported by Kevin Durant and other players. If they would have listened to that kind of stuff, then essentially what you're talking about is the season being canceled, the CBA that you just agreed to being ripped up, essentially a whole everybody being free agents for all intent and purposes, and with the owners coming to the table, having accrued those losses, projecting future losses, and then, oh my goodness, they're going to look for you to stomach some of those losses, which means you're taking money out of your own pocket you will never, ever receive or recruit. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
When you hear that money ain't anything, don't listen to that person. That person's a fool. But when you hear that money is everything, don't believe that either. In China, they have economic choice. That's how they've managed to suppress their or repress their population, because they've given them economic choice, but they don't have political choice. They don't have freedom of expression, the freedom of speech. They don't have a whole bunch of freedoms, but they have a certain degree of economic freedom, and that ain't the whole shooting match by a long shot. Secondly, I want to talk about this idea that in this case, black players, because Kyrie Irving, Dwight Howard are speaking from the point of view of African-American players specifically and African-American people in this country. There's a sense among white people. This has been going on for some time, at least since civil rights, but it even predates that. Come on. Things are good enough. Things are good enough for you. They're normal enough. So, you know, if you, little by little, if you just play ball, so to speak, you'll be able to dig yourself out generation after generation of this hole that we put you in. So, it's normal enough. So really what's being asked of these players now, and it's not just being asked of these players, it's being asked of first responders, et cetera, because this disease has disproportionately affected African-Americans, is let's get back to normal. Do your best. Come on, help us get back to the normal that we've enjoyed largely at your expense. And the players are saying, wait a minute. Now, if we have this position of leverage, if you really want us to do this, not just for their pay, Stephen A., because ultimately you and I agree that I think it's in the best interest of the players, even in terms of the causes they're interested in, to play. It amplifies their message. It gives them a platform. It's financially lucrative for them, and they can do good with that, too. So we agree, but I'm talking about their message and why it makes sense to me, and I think it's actually a close call. They're saying, if you want us to bring it back to normal, then the normal for us has to be more like the normal for you. And I agree with that message. I don't have to go ad hominem at Kyrie or Dwight and kill the messenger. I agree with the message itself.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio. ESPN News is going to be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward. And that's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Only at Walmart. None of this is going to be easy. And again, I'll go back to the strong statements by Adam Silver. It feels like the NBA is going to rely on
the NBA and MLB have encountered their fair share of pushback, but is the league we should most be concerned about returning? College football. That and more Wednesday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, and live on ESPN2.
Golic and Wingo.
Zach Steffen now, the United States men's national team goalie in the Bundesliga for Dusseldorf, and we've seen in the Bundesliga reacting to the killing of George Floyd. What has it been like to be abroad and see these things playing out?
It breaks my heart to watch all these videos and all the racism and police brutality. Just to be in Germany and be so far away from America, it's hard. That's why I'm trying to raise awareness and to act on what we're all posting on social media.
Golic and Wingo, weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
First Take, Your Take, ESPN News. That's the joy of live radio. Sometimes you have technical difficulties. That was some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Great job by the guys behind the board trying to save us there through some technical issues. We're back. We're better. We're ready for you. We want your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So many of you guys have wanted to chime in about Chuba Hubbard, Mike Gundy, and the situation at Oklahoma State that we're going to let you do that. So let's get some of your take in. Let's get to Chris. We've been just a ton of Chris's today. Chris in Florida. Chris, what do you got? What's your take?
Hey, how you doing? First off, I want to say you're an inspiration. You've killed it in music, which was a huge dream of anybody, and now your hard work is really paying off at ESPN, and I'd like to use you as a role model for both of my kids.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that, genuinely, and thanks for listening. It means the world. What's your take on this?
No problem at all. My take on it is that I think I was very happy to see that he came out and said that about him. But he's listening to a radio station that literally is anti-Black Lives Matter. And it's like, how dense can you be? I couldn't disagree with, I'm going to call him Chris number three, because he's my, I'm going to call myself number one. And the one before him, I agreed with everything he said. But Chris number three is comparing it to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And it's just like, how can he still be missing the point? It's like when I hear people say, I'm white, I can't relate. It's about 6 weeks too late for that. Like, if you haven't tried yet, then you're not trying at all. This guy brought, I appreciate what Hubbard did. It was great. But when he backed down and did the media thing, I didn't like that. And normally, 85% of the times, I agree with Stephen A. On any subject, but he thinks that he should have gone to the coach first. If you go to the coach first, you're already avoiding this. Like, the system's already come back in check. They're going to tell you what they want you to say. They're going to say, don't say it, period, and your voice is not going to be heard. And your voice needs to be heard in this matter. And he brought him out the same way Donald Sterling would bring out Forrest Griffin and say, here he is. You know, there's no difference to that. Like, they told him what to say. He said it. Now everything's supposedly okay. But no, he had a voice. And that's what's so good about everything that's going on, is that the college students finally have a voice. So why need that
thanks,
voice?
And I appreciate your take on it a lot. I will say, for me, it's a big jump to get from Gundy to Sterling. Like, wearing a T-shirt is far different than, you know, not knowing either man individually. I do want to at least give a little bit of separation there. But I will say, I think your point about speaking in private is actually a really valid one, because part of what's attempting to happen right now is to have really public, awkward conversations. We've been doing it on the show, trying to figure out how everybody can be better. So at some point, accountability being held in a very public way by a star player to a coach is the ultimate saying of, hey, we have to stand up and not accept these things. So that's part of why I don't have a problem with any of it. Jeffrey G in New Mexico, what do you got? What's your take, Jeffrey G?
Oh, thank you for putting me on today. I appreciate it. My take is really simple. I've heard a lot of discussion from folks today about that we're America and we should have an opinion and we're entitled to opinion. Yes, everybody in America is entitled to their opinion. Unless that opinion is voiced towards another class of human being or person, and it oppresses that person. And that's what that opinion should not have. If you're wearing a T-shirt that has a news service on it, and you are representing Oklahoma State University, you are representing the university, you're representing everybody in that state, and that's what people have to understand.
Well, that's a great portion of the conversation, I think, here that's important, because you got to understand that, to your point, how often have we seen coaches go to players and say, remember, everything you do, every way you act, everything you say is a reflection of the university that's here. And so isn't that the same case for, as I always like to call them now, teacher coaches? If it's student athletes, it's teacher coaches. So if a teacher coach comes out and makes a statement that seems to be very much in the opposite circle of where the players are, that he is responsible for coaching every day, for the players that he tries to relate to every day, if it feels like in making his own statement, he's also making a statement to the players that he doesn't have their back, that creates some of this issue. I mean, again, I have no problem with Gundy wearing whatever the hell he wants to wear. He can wear what he wants, how he wants to wear. But Chuba Hubbard then can also speak out to whatever he's worn. I mean, to me, the two can coexist. Eric in Tennessee. Eric, thanks for calling the show. What's your take, man?
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to say, I think one of the issues is that everyone is falsely equivocating, like, all speech to be equal. And what you can't deny the fact is that a Black Lives Matter movement is about equality and trying to reach a certain level that you believe African-Americans should be treated. And being an African-American man, I can agree with that. you cannot ignore the fact that the network that Mike Gundy is endorsing in some ways is a network that has been anti-Black Lives Matter. They've been anti a lot of things, and it's not what they're pro, it's just that what they put out. They're not always truthful. They're not always forthcoming with all the facts, and that's dangerous because as a person, you're like, hey, if you agree with this network, how do I, yeah, you can tell me that Black Lives Matter. You can tell me, you know, sitting in the living room with my parents and say, yeah, I'm here for your son. But on the outside looking in, like, what are you doing to actually move forward with that? You could actually be doing the opposite of that. You could be trying to push things that are going to oppress me sometime in the future. How do I know that everything that you're doing as a man and as a coach is in my best interest as a Black man, but even if it goes in the opposite of what the school needs? Like, you know, you have to weigh that. And if you're not genuine with everything, then it makes you seem fake. And if you're not real, then could you expect for players to be real with you at all times? You're going to hold them to a higher standard. If a player is seen wearing like a weed shirt or something like that outside of school, that he might get hemmed up for that. Are you endorsing drugs? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Then Mike Gundy needs to be held to that same standard, if not more of a bigger standard, because he is being paid by university several million dollars. I mean, he is getting paid to do this, and it's as a direct result of the acts and the talents of those players. So he needs to be in concert with that. If anything that develops as a result, if he's like opposite of that, then he needs to get called out for it. And like everyone is saying in that video, Mike Gundy didn't take accountability for anything, and the player is the one that ended up apologizing. And so that's like a microcosm of the issue with college sports, is that players speak up, and somehow they're being held accountable for saying anything, but what they're speaking up about never really gets addressed. They just want them to shut up and play,
I'm sorry, buddy. I got to cut you off. I'm up against it, but I got to say, your take was one of the most real and well-articulated takes we've had to this entire issue, and what you said feels like it's so real to what players are dealing with today. So I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your take on it. I think you've beautifully articulated how players are feeling when they see these shirts being worn in these situations, which part of it when you're talking about a coach that's also in many ways in some situations a father figure that's also a representative for players. So kudos to you. We're going to keep taking your take. Won't shy away from it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, college athletes are faced with a multitude of issues right now. We're going to be joined by one of my favorites and also a former college athlete next to discuss the new generation of college athletes. You'll hear that. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Of course, we're taking your take across the board today as we get reaction to Chuba Hubbard reacting to Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State situation. Obviously, we've been reacting to that. We'll keep taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation if you want to chime in on your thoughts on all things Oklahoma State. Love the take. Love the opportunity for you guys to get in on it. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on it. In the meantime, we're going to go to the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, where one of my favorites joins us, ESPN radio host, ACC network host. It's just really all-around great human being. Jordan Cornette joins us. And Jordan was a high-level college athlete and has watched what high-level college athletes are doing today and the using of their voice. So, Jordan, I wanted to have you on because you've been loud on social media, and I think in a very good way, talking about the change for college athletes. Is it to you, as somebody that played the game, do you feel like today's generation actually has more leniency to use their voice than previous generations did?
Well, Fitz, I appreciate you having me on. And no question, the what I call collegiate athletes, because the student athlete portion is kind of hard to come to grips with right now, is the presentation of getting these athletes back out there to play, understanding the financial impact it will have, takes away students. So I went ahead and threw collegiate athlete in there. But as it pertains to Hubbard, to Chuba Hubbard, and his desire to not approach coach, but use this platform, that being social media, to send his message across, which was heard loud and clear, I think it was the right choice. It was cringeworthy for a myriad of reasons why he apologized in that half-hearted video that Oklahoma State put together. But why I applauded him for going to social media is because that is absolutely the platform. Forget this whole man-to-man conversation stuff. That's where nothing would have been achieved. That's where no real accountability would have came to fruition. The fact that Chuba decided to use that platform, that being social media, was the best decision he made, because that brought the attention to everybody. And once it went to everybody, then action had to occur. You think Coach Gundy, with his history of being a bully and putting his foot in his mouth and saying ridiculous things, would have taken a behind-the-scenes meeting and done anything of any real change? Absolutely not. So I applaud Hubbard of doing this, and I think it's eye-opening to all of us as we watch this unravel and the beauty within it, that these college athletes have a voice and it can be heard, and ultimately, now more than ever, it will be respected.
I love the way you've done that. Like, I'm trying to implement a new phrase around coaches. Instead of just calling them coaches, I'm going to call them teacher coaches. So with that being said, if you're a teacher coach, since it's student athletes, if you're a teacher coach, should you be held to a higher standard based on what you wear?
I laugh at this because I love this. It's a great question, Fitz. Absolutely. Teacher coach would be a nice label to classify these coaches, at least for recruits and how they decide to pick a university, because no longer is it going to be about the facilities. No longer will it be about the uniforms. Are they Nike? Are they Adidas? Are they whatever? It will be firmly about what's the makeup of said coach at the university you're trying to attend. Let's try and understand if they have the best interests in mind for my black child who is going to grow into an adult under their tutelage. Do they have the best interests in mind? So the shirt choice of Gundy, to answer your question, is problematic to me as a black man, understanding I've seen some of the ideals. Unlike some, I'm aware of OAN, and to me, it's a dangerous network. And if I have that feeling, it makes me very, very perturbed that somebody who has the most visible position at the institution he's at Oklahoma State, that is espousing these beliefs. And if he is, that's fine. That's his American right. I have no question about that. But understand this. If 70% of your locker room is black, and those are the ideals that you're espousing, then this position is not for you, because it is clear to me as a black man that those beliefs are detrimental to my growth in this society. So to me, it seems like private enterprise is the best place for a guy like Mike Gundy, where he can keep these ideals to himself but not espouse them on young, impressionable minds, because that decreases the ability for progress with those young black men and women, but also growth. And that is the problem we are dealing with head on today, the ability to grow and progress. And I think he impedes that. And I think when you hear these quotes from the people in charge there at Oklahoma State, you want to talk about action. I think it's pretty clear to a lot of people what real action looks like down there at Oklahoma State.
We're talking to ESPN Radio host Jordan Cornette. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. You can also watch Jordan on the ACC Network. And, you know, I think that's interesting because, you know, Will Cain has done a great job on his show of talking about the eyes of Texas and the conversation Texas football has started with their athletes coming in and making a set of demands. We've seen in the past, obviously, attempts at some level of unionization for college athletes, and they don't really have a lot of protection in that sense. We've seen those rulings come down. Can a college football team at this point come in and wield their power with any level of success if the athletes are on board?
I think it's a great time to ask it, Fitz. I mean, you had a player who would have just been deemed disgruntled years ago in Hubbard had he gone to social media like this and ultimately been written off. It might have been a blip on the radar in terms of media coverage, but then it would have gone back to business as usual. He voices his complaints on social media, and a scramble within hours of a half-hearted attempt at an apology and some sort of accountability taken from Oklahoma State. Now, as I watched it, it was the bare minimum, but it was still a requirement to have action. So if I'm any athlete and has real issue with the construct of collegiate athletics, which all of them should, I think there's a real recognition that these conversations in the locker room as we once knew them are going to change drastically. And the discussions that are had in these locker rooms are going to be more elevated, understanding that now more than ever, these 18 to 22-year-olds also have a platform. We talk about LeBron James and his NBA platform. Let's not forget the power of college athletics. The ability for these athletes to make change is at an all-time high. So to watch that take place, I tweeted this out and I stand by it. I've never been more excited to call myself a former college athlete and more proud of it, to see the strides that these young warriors are taking day in and day out to impact change. And I got one for you, Fitz. Think about this. What if Chuba Hubbard decided this is not the place for me? understanding that this is how coach wants to carry himself, I don't think this is where I want to grow. One of the top five best players in college football. What if he decides I want to transfer? Right now he wants to leave. How does the NCAA handle that? Because that's a legitimate reason, if I've ever heard of one, for somebody to transfer. Is he eligible immediately? What does the NCAA do then? I think you're going to be seeing these institutions and these universities put in positions where it's going to be put up or shut up. And if you want to come out with these fantastic PR pushes that make people believe that you're about it, we'll see what happens when it comes time to actually act. And that's what will be the differentiator between a good PR move and actual action.
That is a great point. We're talking to ESPN Radio host Jordan Cornette. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. I got to ask you, because ever the cynic sometimes, right? So
sure.
Sometimes I look at it and say dollars and cents rule everything, and I realize that's a negative for me. But do you believe that a high school kid right now is looking at how coaches are treating this situation and it will affect their decision on where they decide to play?
Fitz, without a doubt. No question. This is going to be a complete shift in how recruiting goes down. You're going to see some people who maybe had great success, but their ideals maybe don't align with some of these young black men and women that are attending their universities. That all changes now, because that'll be at the forefront of every list when you're checking pros and cons. Like I said before, facilities great, uniforms great, the environment and climate, is it warm, is it cold? Great. Ultimately, I want to know, what is the makeup of the coach who my child is going to be dealing with day in and day out as they grow from a boy to a man, a girl to a woman? That is going to be paramount in the discussion. And that goes back to the power and where it can be yielded. These athletes have the ability to shape the environment that they want to be in. You don't like playing for a guy like Gundy, and you don't like what Oklahoma State's about? Transfer or don't go there. The power is within, and I think the recognition of that is the enlightenment, so to speak, coming from these 18 to 22 year olds. They're very keenly aware, and I think that is definitely going to shift. The paradigm is shifting before our eyes, and every day I wake up and I look to my 13 year old son, I think, wow, the world that is going to be in front of you, it will be tumultuous, but you are understanding your voice way earlier than I ever did. I discovered mine in my 30s. These young children are understanding that they can garner the respect in their teens into young adulthood, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, you guys can follow him on Twitter, at Jordan Cornette. You can hear him regularly as part of Spain and Company on ESPN Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio across the country. And also watch him on the ACC Network. Jordan, as always, you are amazing, my friend. Thank you so much for the time and for the insight. I appreciate your thoughts.
Fitz, I appreciate you giving me the voice, man. You've always been a good friend and, more importantly, an ally, brother.
That means the world. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Jordan Cornette. You'll always get the real from him on what's going on around the scope of college athletics. You guys are blowing up the phone lines. They're all stacked. So I'll give out the phone number in case anybody drops off, but this is amazing to me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You guys want to take over the show? We'll let you. When we come back, Your Take is going to end the show. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. A little bit of breaking news. The NFL has made the announcement, the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is headed to Vegas, new Allegiant Stadium, which I'm still trying to figure out a way to get into. Allegiant Stadium will be the host of the Pro Bowl coming in next year. I'm already petitioning the Raiders and the NFL to let me come in. Randy Scott can be my plus one since he's also a Raiders fan. We'll make this happen. But the Pro Bowl headed to Vegas, having a little fun there. I'm sure that's going to be a big moment for Las Vegas, and that stadium's going to get more than just a Pro Bowl in the coming years. In the meantime, we've been getting your take on the situation between Chuba Hubbard and Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy, the big-name head coach at Oklahoma State. Chuba Hubbard, the incredible star running back at the school. Remember, Gundy was photographed in social media wearing a shirt for a news network that does not necessarily align with the values of many of the people right now that are pushing for social change. Chuba Hubbard went to Twitter to turn around and say, hey, I won't stand for this. I won't do anything at Oklahoma State until things change. And then just a few hours later, we got this joint statement online via their web, via social media, of Chuba Hubbard and Mike Gundy together.
In light of today's tweet with the t-shirt I was wearing, I've met with some players and realized it's a very sensitive issue with what's going on in today's society. And so we had a great meeting and made aware of some things that players feel like that can make our organization, our culture even better than it is here at Oklahoma State. And I'm looking forward to making some changes, and it starts at the top with me, and we got good days ahead.
I'll start off by first saying that I went about it the wrong way by tweeting. I'm not someone that, you know, has to, you know, tweet something to break chains. I should have went to him as a man, and I'm more about action. So that was bad on my part. But from now on, we're going to focus on bringing change, and that's the most important thing.
Let's get some of your takes. Suzanne from South Carolina. Suzanne, what you got?
There are a couple of things. So every time I hear that news conference, it's just sad to me that Gundy did not apologize, and the player was apologizing. That's number one. Number two, where the heck did he get the shirt? I feel like there's a lot more to the story. And I know if I had a son who was looking at colleges, he would not even be looking at that school. And I'm white. I can't imagine if a black mother was even, it's off the table now as far as.
Suzanne, you make a great point. Thanks for I appreciate your take on it. I will say that you're totally right about everything you said. The one thing I will say about shirts, when you're a coach at Oklahoma, and he's spoken out in support of this network in the past, I'm sure they sent him a boatload of shirts at that point. He didn't think anything of it, which is in and of itself another conversation. Sean, in Portland, what's your take?
How are you, man? Big fan. Wondering here how the world is letting a 20-year-old kid from freaking Arkansas comment on social justice and tell us exactly where we should go. Didn't Mike Gundy defend his players and was lauded for being a good guy and all this, and he wears a t-shirt of a network that gives like a different point of view, and he's vilified? Have you ever even watched One American News? I don't really, but I've never seen anything racist on it in my life. Why is cancel culture, just because you don't like something or you disagree, now it's bad, and now the kid's getting, you know, the coach is getting railroaded? I really don't understand it. What about free speech and different views and having an intelligent conversation, you know?
Well, and those are all viable. I've heard the points before. I think part of what comes into this conversation is the tone deaf of the moment. The moment has to be part of the conversation too. And I think the other part of it is that you've got to look across the board and say, okay, what is he saying when he wears a t-shirt? And when you were a head coach in college football right now, you are saying something all the time because you got to be aware of the moment. I mean, that's the same thing that he's going to be telling his kids. Don't go out and say or tweet anything you don't want on the record because you got to be aware of the moment. So part of the reason that this is happening is because he's being held to a higher standard because he's a head coach in college football, and because part of what he does is represents his players. Several players have spoken out at some level for it. And while I understand your concept of free speech, if he has the freedom to wear the shirt, then the player has the freedom to react to it. And just like I have the freedom to drop an F-bomb if I'm watching a Raiders game in the stadium, it doesn't mean it's the right place or right time to do it if you're next to me and you've got your kids there. There's some level of know the room, read the room, and understand what you're saying.